This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frieda Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game, and it's our Tools for Transformation series. I've got Sheila Singham from Human Equation here for the last Friday of every month. Now, our beliefs are a powerful force on our behavior. Henry Ford was spot on when he said, whether you believe you can do a thing or not, you're right. People who soar ahead in life are very likely fueled by empowering beliefs about themselves and their capabilities. On the flip side, those who fall again and again despite the best laid plans are probably hampered by limiting beliefs that hold them back from succeeding. Many of our beliefs sit at the level of the unconscious mind and exert a powerful force on behavior and our ability to achieve anything we want. If people really believe they can't do something, they're going to find an unconscious way to stop themselves from doing it, even if they consciously want to. This sounds familiar to me. They'll also find a way to interpret the results they get so as to confirm with their existing belief. Now, our beliefs are not necessarily based upon a logical frame of ideas. They can be notoriously resistant to logic and are not intended to coincide with reality. Often they lie in the realm of our unconscious minds and we may not even be aware of them. As long as they're not identified and addressed, they cannot be confronted or changed and will continue to interfere with our ability to get what we want. And I think that introduction was necessary. Again, this is our Tools for Transformation series. And we one of the things is unlimiting beliefs, right? Limiting beliefs. We're going to go through a couple of case studies that you've got and everything. But this whole idea, and it's very interesting, you're talking about the conscious and unconscious. So consciously, I can do it. Yeah. Unconsciously, I cannot.
Yeah. How many people have you encountered like that? Have you ever felt that? There's a part of you that's sort of so compelled to surge forward and do this.
And then underneath that, it's like, really, can I
do it? I can't. I really don't have the tools. What makes me think I'm so good that I can go and do this when other people haven't done it, mm-hmm. you know? So in many ways, you have overcome many of your limiting beliefs, I believe, Frieda. Mm. There's so many people out there who say, I want to write a book. Inside every journalist, PR practitioner, writer, there's a, I want to write a book. But many people feel that I can't.
And you know why not? Because when I wrote that book, my first book, I didn't say it had to be perfect.
Yeah. that's it.
You see?
So there again, you didn't have that limiting belief. So very often, we are contained by our limiting beliefs. Mm. If you want to step outside the box, outside your comfort zone and go out there and do new things, you need to get rid of those. But first of all, you have to identify them. Mm. Many people don't even know they have that limiting belief.
You know, we'll go into this. And I think one of the things is like, you know, we've had our chats and all that, right? Outside radio. And, you know, and I'll be saying, why are certain things, you know, happening
Or not happening
repeatedly.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is it, Sheila? Yeah. What is it? You know, and it can be in any area of your life, whether it's work, whether it's relationships. Like, so then we've had these chats and then it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah,
I have.
And I've questioned you and probed and probed and probed. And finally, we came down to that limiting belief. And you went, oh my goodness, I didn't even kind of know I had that.
I didn't like to be on the other side of the desk where you were asking me the questions. Well, you were grilling me.
Yeah, I was grilling you for a change.
Okay. Okay. On that note, we'll go through some of these case studies, and these are people obviously you've met, right? So, a postgraduate came to you for coaching with a host of limiting beliefs that were stopping her from making headway with her PhD program. So, what were some of the beliefs, and how did you help her?
Okay, first of all, this person came from a very sort of very shattered family background. It was really very sad, but they all kind of managed to pull together and, you know, sort of survive and get past this. But of course, it had an impact on her all over the years as a young person growing up in that home. So she came to me. My goodness, the number of limiting beliefs was unbelievable. She came to me because she was in depression. She couldn't get out of it. She had gone to see professionals and they had just said to her, well, you know, you need to pull yourself together. You are a clever girl, highly intelligent. You've got a whole future ahead of you. So why are you sitting and wallowing in this? And that wasn't very helpful at all. Mm. And, you know, she was on medications and all that. So she came to me because she had heard about me from a friend. So I said, okay, first thing I did was to look at the whole wealth of negative emotions and remove those. Then I started working on the limiting beliefs. And amongst the limiting beliefs she had was that she was not good enough.
Mm.
And this was planted by one of her parents who always said, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not clever enough. The very fact that she had gone ahead to pursue her PhD was in sort of like a direct result of wanting to prove to him that she was clever enough.
A positive retaliation. A
positive retaliation, yeah. But still, you know, it was that I need to prove to you. And there was pain there as well.
Right.
So one... Yeah.
And just before you continue, it's just like how words can kill or heal.
I tell you, the power of death and life are in the tongue, lah, Frida. Okay? They can kill or they can heal. They can resurrect hope or just sort of dash them. We have to be very, very careful with our words, you know. Yeah. Sometimes I listen to people's limiting beliefs and it's some innocuous thing somebody said to them.
And that was... stuck with them for years.
Stuck with them for years and totally kind of... if affected and impacted the way they operated. So this girl, once we got past, after one session, first session, got rid of a lot of her anger and sadness and all that, she practically floated out of there. And for the whole week, she actually started to get into rapport with friends, make eye contact with people, her relationship with her family improved. They all noticed the change in her. So she came back and then we got rid of limiting beliefs. See, one of the limiting beliefs she had is that she cannot complete her PhD. All right, she's a smart girl. She's on scholarship doing her PhD, all right? So you can imagine how smart she is. But she said, I cannot complete my PhD. So we removed that. In the process of removing that, I discovered there was another limiting belief that was sort of feeding that limiting belief. And that was that someone had told her, you are an Indian girl. You know, you already got a master's and proved that you're clever. Why do you want to get a PhD? You'll be too qualified. No man will want to marry you. So, no, just go and get married and focus on that.
Yeah. So, some children. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that belief had been planted to her that, if I go and complete my PhD, that, in the conscious mind, you look at that and say, what a stupid thing to say. You know what I mean? In this day and age, people having that kind of mindset, and you can say, what nonsense, right? But somewhere inside, insidiously.
And especially if it's someone you respect.
Right? Community people and all that. It insidiously takes root and starts growing inside of you. And you can see how a little silly thing someone said takes root, feeds another limiting belief, which then
feeds another one.
So it's just sometimes getting down to the source of this. I really have to probe and probe and probe, as you have discovered yourself. Yeah. And then you come to that fundamental root toxic belief that needs, once you pull that out, everything else just dismantles.
And also, I think that's why when I say words can kill or heal, even these words you say to yourself, because that limiting belief, and when I had my conversation, was a belief that I had imposed on myself. It wasn't anything anyone had said. But it was the words that I said to myself and I believed it.
That's right. You see, the thing about limiting beliefs we have to understand is they're not logical or rational. They don't even have to be true. Okay? They're not universal. Someone can have a limiting belief and other people can look at them and say, what? You know, for example, I had this very beautiful girl come to see me for coaching. She had been a contestant in a beauty pageant, but she didn't win. She was clearly the most intelligent, highly qualified, you know, very beautiful. But the thing is, the beauty pageant organizers had another agenda. She was not the right fit for who should wear the crown. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there are lots of other contracts and all that that go with that. So she didn't fit their idea of who should be the winner. So she came to me with a limiting belief that I'm not beautiful.
Wow. You're a finalist, right? So it affects everyone.
You do modeling and all that. You're stunning pictures and I'm looking at a picture. How can this not be beautiful? She said, no, I'm not beautiful. That's all makeup and all that. So I really had to get rid of that. And today, she's just so comfortable in her skin. I mean, she doesn't bother her that, you know, she's expanded a little bit. It's like feeling really beautiful. She began to feel really beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's when things started to change for her.
All right. We'll go through some other case studies in just a moment. I'm here with Sheila Singham from Human Equation in our Tools for Transformation series. Of course, you're listening to Race Again. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning, Frieda Liu here. Sheila Singham from Human Equation. She joins us the last Friday of every month in our Tools for Transformation series. We're talking about limiting beliefs, and that's something that we've talked about, and I think we need to talk about almost as a reminder to all of us, right? And so early on, we had one case study where you talk about a postgraduate wanting to complete her PhD program. Here's another one, and this is where a senior manager came to you because she felt she was stagnating in her job. She felt that she was not fulfilling her true potential and was performing at a mediocre level. She had a lot of anger and limiting beliefs, including telling herself that she was not good enough. That seems to be a constant, not good enough. So how do you coach her?
Well, first of all, we got rid of the anger. Now, the five major negative emotions which are related to other emotions are anger, sadness, fear, hurt and guilt. Mm. All right. So what I usually do with my clients is, first of all, find out if they've got these and remove them. Mm. That immediately sort of gives an instant sort of lift, you know, to the spirit, because it's all of this being suppressed for so long inside there. You know, it's like when you take out the garbage, you know, the house smells nice after that, you know. Mm. Then after that, it's getting down. It takes longer to get down to what the limiting beliefs are. So in this instance, it actually went back to her childhood. Mm. It went back to her relationship with the parents and the family, having others in the family who were high achievers. And, you know, she's a very go-with-the-flow sort of a person, and in her own way developed, but later. And she's now very accomplished in her own right. But always that comparison, you know, with the siblings and all that, and the way that the limiting beliefs she had was that my parents don't, no, think of highly of me as they do of them. And her parents never said such a thing. It was just her impression. Sometimes the limiting belief comes from our own mind, our own perception. And then we choose to take it on as a decision I've made. I'm not good enough.
It's like, I guess it's like even when things are not said and you see pictures, right, and you see behaviours and you decide to say, you know, you look at, so maybe one day the mother was just nicer to the other sibling and you took that picture forever and said, maybe I'm not as good as the other sibling, right? And probably that wasn't the case, but your worldview was what you saw.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so that's just so many families out there where siblings feel that the parents have one favorite child and they don't love me as much as they love him or her, you know, which is absolutely not true. Because, I mean, you and I being parents ourselves, we would know that all our children, you know, no matter what eccentricities they have, we love them just the same.
And I tell my son he's my favorite because
he's the only, I mean, so we have it everywhere. I mean, myself as well, you know, we're always teasing my mother, say, Yala, your son is your favorite. And we always grill him and grill her about it. But I mean, now, I mean, truly, I know that she loves all of us equally, but you know. So anyway, coming to this situation, you just begin to see how a family relationship, something innocuous the mother might have said or done or father might have said or done, just cause a seed to be planted and grow into this limiting belief. I'm not good enough for my mother. My mother doesn't love me as much. And that began to be, so why bother? Why bother to be the best when clearly whatever I do is never going to be enough? So that's why you settle for mediocrity. You know how we all say that, oh, there's a difference between, separate your personal life and your work life.
You
cannot. Whatever has happened in your personal life is going to impact your work life and vice versa, right? So we got rid of those limiting beliefs that she had that my parents don't think I'm good enough, my mother doesn't love me as much as the others, you know, I'm not the favored one, and I can't do this and I can't do that. Because throughout her life, people have been telling her, you can't do this, you're not musically inclined, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do everything. So she's just constantly hearing all of this. You might be an intelligent, rational person with EQ, but sometimes when you have this barrage of things coming at you, you just begin to wonder, is it true? Just like women who are in abusive relationships, they can be very accomplished, very intelligent, but if the other partner keeps saying to them, you're not good enough, you're not beautiful enough, you know, you can't fulfill my needs, my expectations, you're not a good wife, you're not a good mother, you just, after a while of constantly hearing it day in, day out, you begin to wonder if there's truth in it, and then it becomes a limiting belief. And limiting beliefs, while most negative emotions are sort of acquired or learned in childhood, usually before the age of seven or no, so limiting beliefs can happen anywhere.
Right.
I could have heard something last week, as I spoke in a case study previously on the program. There was this guy who was 50 and who actually 2 years ago took on this limiting belief that he, you know, all his friends were retiring. We're too old to start something new.
Ah.
And that lodged in his brain. And he wanted to start something new, but he was afraid. Mm. And we removed the limiting belief. And by the way, coming back to that previous story, Frida, I met him about 2 weeks ago. And he said to me, I said, so how's your new project taken off? He gave me the thumbs up and said, fantastic.
Right.
It's on the way.
Okay.
So, you know, it's really great to hear stories
and
like that.
And I guess this is the one where he says, I'm not confident. Is this, okay,
this is another one.
Ah, it's another one. Okay. So this is, okay, before that also, like sometimes if you're aware you have certain limiting beliefs, you're aware of it, does it mean you've addressed it if you're aware of it?
No.
Ah.
Not necessarily. If you are aware that you have it, you know it's there.
Mm.
So how do you get rid of it? Mm. That's where in my coaching practice, I use a process called timeline therapy, clearing limiting beliefs, right?
So, and in that process of timeline therapy is to look back at a particular situation and to change.
To look back at the root cause, meaning when did you acquire that limiting belief? And most people can remember. Mm. Most people. I have hardly ever had anyone say, I can't, because through, you know, the process of helping them to find, they will find the root cause. So what you go is to like revisit the root cause, the first event where you acquired it from a dissociated perspective.
Uh-huh.
That means you don't walk right into the event and be there. You are like, it's like looking at yourself in the event, okay? Watching a movie of that event with yourself there and taking the positive learnings. Now, the most crucial aspect to letting go of limiting beliefs and negative emotions is to be able to take positive learnings for yourself for the future. Mm. So what is this teaching me?
Mm.
I am confident. I can do anything I set myself to do. Not something like, if you take a belief like, oh, I should never listen to other people.
Mm.
That's a negative. That's being stated negative, and that's reference to other people. Instead of saying I should never listen to other people, the positive learning you can take from them is I should have the courage of my own convictions.
Mm.
I should examine what people say to find out whether there is proof or whether it's rational.
Or statements like all men are creeps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible. And some people take that on. I know young women who are influenced by mothers who have been, single
mothers.
And so
they will only attract creeps.
You are right, because projection is perception, as I've stated before. And perception is projection. What you have inside of you is what you're projecting. So sometimes if you keep attracting the same type of person in your life or the same type of boss or whatever, it's what your perception that you're throwing out. What I'm afraid of is what I attract.
Okay.
I don't want that. The unconscious mind doesn't process negatives. I don't want that.
I want that.
Yeah,
disappears.
Yeah, so let's ask the listeners. If I were to say to you right now, don't think of a pink elephant.
See?
Everyone immediately visualize a pink elephant because the instruction given was don't. Then mind deletes the don't, you know. So, so coming back to that, you've got to be very careful what thoughts you have in your mind and words, because those are ones that you are sending out there.
Right. Now, okay, so we'll go through a third case study here. The CEO of a company wanted to begin a new business but had the limiting belief, I'm not confident, which you discovered was the fundamental reason he was not able to step out of his comfort zone to forge ahead. So in this case, what happened?
Okay, it's very interesting because you think that someone who's been a CEO and has actually started a business which is successful would have no qualms about going and doing another
their own, right?
Yeah. But I see this a lot. I see this a lot with people, mature people, right? So what happened is his limiting belief is that that's not going to, that this business is not going to succeed. You know, but actually it's viable. So somewhere inside, somebody told him, oh, this economic climate and all that, you're competing with other people and all that. No, I don't think it's going to succeed. So that got stuck inside there. So we had to clear that limiting belief. The other limiting belief we had to clear is basically very straightforward. I'm not confident. You know, so we cleared those limiting beliefs. We cleared those limiting beliefs and immediately he could actually see the possibility of the new business. So the next step after that was set a goal, set a well-formed outcome. What will you see, hear and feel when the business has taken off? What are the resources you need? Is it realistic? Is it achievable? Is it viable? How come you don't have it already? And we realize that the reason he doesn't have it already is because of his limiting belief. Nothing else. He's got the resources, got the contacts and everything. The idea all there. So once he set that well-form outcome, we made him work backwards as to what is the to-do list and then to get himself into that pumped up, empowered state.
All right. So, okay. And I guess if people do want to have any questions, they can first of all, I guess, get in touch with you via email.
Sure.
And that would be Sheila at
human-equation.com.
Okay. And of course, you know, it's been very interesting talking about our limiting beliefs and what happens in the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. It's that iceberg, isn't it?
It is.
Right? The 10% that we see, but what lies beneath that 90%, if that's not resolved, you know?
Yeah.
It could be a Titanic.
And all of us, it's constantly forming. Even me, I mean, I'm not one person without limiting beliefs. Sometimes someone will pop up and say, where did that come from? And then I'll just work on it and get rid of it, you know, do whatever it takes.
Because you've got the tools to do it. Speaking of which, of course, this has been the Tools for Transformation series with Sheila Singham from Human Equation. She'll be back again the last Friday of every month. And of course, if you want to get hold of her, you've got her email. This is Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.